engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Let us listen to God's word from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verses 1 to 9. If in the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess, anyone is found slain lying in the open country, and it is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges shall come forth, and they shall measure the distance to the cities which are around him who was slain. And the elders of the city which is nearest to the slain man shall take a heifer which has never been worked and which has not pulled in the yoke, and the elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with running water, which is neither plowed nor sown, and shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word every dispute and every assault shall be settled. And all the elders of that city nearest to the slain man will wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley, and they shall testify, "Our hands did not shed this blood, neither did our eyes see it. Forgive, O Lord, thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and set not the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of thy people Israel. But let the guilt of blood be forgiven them. So you shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from your midst when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Our responsorial psalm, "Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned." Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and from my sin cleanse me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. For I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight, I have done. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. That you may be justified when you give sentence and be without reproach when you judge. O see, in guilt I was born, a sinner was I conceived. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore teach me wisdom in my heart. Purge me, O God, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Sustain in me an upright spirit. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive your Holy Spirit from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I shall teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the multitudes who assembled to see this sight, when they had saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. The Gospel of the Lord. My friends, it is such an honor to be with you here. So meaningful to be all together at this particular spot. I want to bring you, first of all, the prayerful greetings and solidarity of all of us at Priests for Life, all of our team who are in various parts of the country today, taking part in services like this, as are tens of thousands of our brothers and sisters in this great pro-life movement. Some years ago, I began a conversation with our colleagues Eric Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League and Monica Miller of Citizens for a Pro-Life Society about having a day of remembrance like this nationwide. All the three of us and many, many others, of course, over the years had been involved in burying aborted babies. There have been many such funerals, many such burials, and the stories are fascinating about how these bodies were found in the first place. Some of them found by accident, literally on the hillsides and in the sewers of America. Others found by accident, like in Los Angeles, where at the Odd Fellows Cemetery, where I have preached a number of times at services like this, there are at one grave 16,500 aborted babies buried. They were discovered in a gigantic container in the mid-80s. Eric and Monica and I had taken part in many such burials. Sometimes, as Monica did, these babies were retrieved deliberately by pro-life people going to the garbage bins outside of the abortuaries and finding the bodies, looking for and finding the bodies of our brothers and sisters. Because the body is an aspect of the person. If the person is sacred, the body is sacred. And sometimes the bodies were brought to us as babies I have buried that pathologists brought to me after the bodies were sent to them from the abortuary or the hospital, and they had enough of a conscience not to throw them out with the medical waste. These babies buried here have a particularly unique history, don't they? Of a particularly high profile case of an abortionist who now is spending the rest of his life in prison, Philadelphia abortionist Kermit Gosnell. We're going to read the names of these babies later in the service. Some of them were born alive before they were killed. Many of them were killed beyond the limit which Pennsylvania state law imposes on abortionists. But as I always say, you can't practice vice virtuously. If an abortionist's conscience is so corrupt that he or she will tear the arms and legs off of babies, they couldn't care less about state law. They couldn't care less about insurance forms, OSHA standards, tax laws. They couldn't care less about anything. We come here today, therefore, in deep awareness that this particular case deserves particular attention. I want to thank John and Loida McKeever for their efforts in planning today's memorial. We had the pleasure of speaking by phone a number of times prior to today and meeting today and united in the determination that this grave is not going to remain unmarked. One way or another, we are going to put a memorial stone here for these babies. And we'll be talking with you more about how we're going to make that happen in the months to come. But I want to build on the words, the beautiful words that John shared with us. Thank you for that, John, because really they correspond perfectly to what I wanted to say to you and what these readings that we have just said convey. The theme of the Old Testament reading, the Psalm and the Gospel that I just proclaimed for you, is repentance. The first step, my friends, in fighting abortion, the first step for our efforts in reversing the culture of death is personal repentance. That we turn away from our own sins by which in various ways we have aborted God's will in our own lives, that we repent of our sins and say, Lord, I am not coming about this work in a self-righteous spirit. I'm coming about this work because I know that I have failed. I know that I need to repent of not being more vocal, more courageous, more loving, more welcoming, more strong in my defense of the innocent and the weak and the vulnerable. Lord, I come to you not in a stance of self-righteousness, but in a stance of repentance. We do not consider ourselves better than anyone else. The pro-life movement, the Church of Jesus Christ, does not stand in front of the world pointing fingers of condemnation. Just the opposite. We stand in front of the world repenting of our own sins, and then in that spirit of repentance, extending hands of mercy, of help, and of hope. How is it that the parents of these children who are buried here went to Kermit Gosnell? It was not because of freedom of choice. It was because of the coercive power of despair. People do not get abortions because of freedom of choice. They get them because they feel they have no freedom and no choice. We in the pro-life movement extend hands of hope, saying, come to us, let us take your hand and lift you up out of that place of despair. And that's what we do for those who have had abortions. This is a day of remembrance, and it is a day of mourning, of grieving, in solidarity with people like Lauren Kretzer here, who is our regional coordinator for this area, for the Silent No More campaign. This joint effort of Priests for Life and Anglicans for Life has truly set a new tone in the pro-life movement for, well, 15 years now, whereby those that have found in Jesus Christ the healing and the forgiveness of sin, even the sin of abortion, are taking it one step further. They're not just accepting that forgiveness, but as we will hear in a moment, they are proclaiming it, and they are sharing the testimony of how they got deceived by the lie of abortion, but then how they were rescued by one who came to them while they were curled up in a dark corner, crouched on the ground, unwilling to even raise their eyes, ashamed to even lift their heads, and a man stood next to them and reached out his hand and shone a light into that dark corner and said, arise, I am your Savior. Arise, you were not made for this despair and this darkness. Arise, because although you ended the life of your child, your life is not over. Arise, because I have new life for you, new hope for you, and a new opportunity for you to save those who might be tempted by that despair to kill their child, to save those who have already done so from the despair of thinking that everything is lost. Arise. And that's what Lauren has done, and that's what all the members of this Silent No More campaign have done, and that's what we have to encourage everyone to do. We come, we see this evil of abortion, and we repent. That's why I read those passages. That book of Deuteronomy passage is really scary, because it has people gathering at a site of a slain body, as we're doing here today. And you notice what the scripture in that passage tells them? God is telling his people, I want you to ask forgiveness for a sin you didn't commit. In fact, they were supposed to explicitly say, Lord, we didn't do this. We don't even know who did it. But forgive us. Why does God command something like that? To ask forgiveness for a sin you didn't commit. And the answer is, and it's a lesson that's there from the beginning of the Bible to the end, even though you did not shed the blood was shed on the land you live on. And if you live on the land where innocent blood is shed, you're answerable for it. We're all in this together. You are answerable for it. This is not a personal, private matter. This is a public matter. This involves us, is what this passage is saying. We all have to repent of abortion. And then on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, as we read in that passage from Luke, everyone went away from the crucifixion doing what? Were they pointing their fingers at those who crucified him? Were they pointing their fingers at Judas? Were they pointing their fingers at Pilate? Were they saying, oh, what terrible sins those people committed? They weren't doing that. They were beating their breasts. They were repenting. But repenting of what? They didn't kill Jesus. They didn't drive the nails into his hands. Why were they beating their breasts? Because they realized, brothers and sisters, that when one innocent man is killed, we are all compromised. We are all offended. We are all brought down, and we must all do more. They left there beating their breasts, recognizing that as a community, we have got to repent of the killing of the innocent, that as a community, we have got to do something to let God raise us up out of this terrible situation where even the Son of God gets nailed to a cross and killed. The centurion repented. The centurion, who did participate in the killing of Christ, he even repented. And today, therefore, we have moms like Lauren, dads, grandparents repenting, friends, and abortionists and their staff repenting of their role in the deaths of these babies, beating their breasts and saying, surely these were innocent lives, and we're sorry. There is even, and it has existed since the mid-1990s, an international organization, and I'm privileged to be part of the leadership of this, called the Society of Centurions. These are ex-abortionists. These are former clinic workers who, from the earliest days, from the time, for example, of people like Bernard Nathanson and Carol Everett and many others who have been around for a long time, sharing their journey out of the abortion industry, they've come together as a society of centurions, helping one another walk that path of healing, that path of repentance that we all must walk. Lord, looking at this grave, I unite myself with the repentance of the centurion. I unite myself with the repentance of the people of old who followed your words in the book of Deuteronomy. I unite myself with the psalmist saying, cleanse me, O God, with hyssop. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. No more, Lord, let me carry the guilt of complicity, of silence, of cowardice, worrying what I'm going to lose by speaking up for the unborn. How am I going to be punished? How am I going to be avoided and shunned? Lord, I care nothing about that anymore. I am standing with you, and I am standing with them. And on this day of remembrance, I pledge, never will I forget them. Never will I be silent. Never will I be afraid to be a vigorous voice and life for the children that we remember today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.